front of the noon hour here, a couple of minutes in front of it, as a matter of fact, as we do each and every Wednesday. BJ Banks is here from the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance. What's going on, my man? How are you?
Man, stuff is going on, continuing down that Bartlett Station Farmers Market thing. That's been a lot of fun. We had a jam kind of last week.
Did you really?
I went out and played. The old man went out.
You went out and played amongst the tomatoes and the potatoes.
Yes, and I had a great time, man. And I invited all the songwriters from the come on out, man. It ain't going to be hot. I set up a tent and microphones. And
so you were in the shade away from the heat?
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's been a little hot, but it's nice now.
It was fun. I ain't been out and done that in a while.
Yeah, well, that's good. You needed to. You need to go out and play more.
Yeah, I'm going to learn to do volleyball and skydive in any minute now.
Really?
Yeah.
Pace yourself now.
I know.
I don't think the hat would stay on your head if you jumped out of an airplane.
Oh, no, I'd get some duct tape.
Yeah, it would just tape it down. It would
it's
be
a new hat, too.
Oh, yeah, it's even got the new hat smell. That's why I like to do this. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Smell the straw.
Smell the straw. But yeah, I know you've been busy with the farmer's market, and of course the school season is underway, and
it's approaching fast. I'm kind of biding my time right now. I'm kind of just sitting in this easy spot, waiting for the little electrical shock to go. Come on,
yeah,
because it will be
the cattle prod will come get you there. Yeah,
because the pace that we want to set it at is to have. To set up and see, get our core group of kids interested, those who are truly interested, 100%, you know?
Sure.
And then we have a core to build on, and then we'll do a test program in January.
Right.
To see how that schedule will work.
Right.
And then by next fall, we'll have it all dialed in.
Right. That makes sense.
So, you know, and when he explained it to me, and I've been sitting over the summer going, come on, man, come on, I'm getting all this OCD thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, oh, and he finally got home and says, man, let's do this smart to where it's going to stick.
Yeah.
It's going to stick. It's going to really be something.
Yeah.
I go, okay. He said, take a breath. It'll be good.
It'll be fine. Yeah. It's in good hands. I'm, you know.
And you get anxious about that.
Well, sure. Every time you get something new. And then what'll happen is, you know, a year from now, you'll be going, what the hell was I worried about?
No, it was just anxious. I'm excited about it. And, you know, and having guys like our songwriter, special guest.
Yes.
Inside the mind of a songwriter.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a scary spot, isn't it?
It can be.
Mr. Mark Wicklund. You were here, what, 2-3 months ago?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
We missed you, man. We wanted to bring him back.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. We had to drag him out of that cabin out of Arkansas.
Yeah, something's
or out of the creek fishing or skinning a bear.
with his bare hands.
We had a group of old-time musicians come over to a friend's place on the river, the creek, on Saturday night. And it was very eclectic. It was somebody put down a wooden stage, you know, put Christmas tree lights around the bottom. This guy come in with a drum kit and three electric guitars, and of course the PA system didn't work.
You posted that, right?
My wife did.
I think I saw some pictures to this.
Yeah. It was basically
it looked cool.
Two or three different songs for 45 minutes each, you know, like jams.
Yeah.
Went on crazy. It was fun, though.
That is fun.
And that's really what fun. We're going to do that in September 22nd, the last Bartlett Farmers Market.
Yeah.
Everybody come. I'm going to set up the PA, and I'll bring extra guitars, and we're going to just come in, jam along, have fun.
Yeah. If you got a tune, bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, though, sitting out there in the country air out there playing. And.
Oh, yeah. This guy had Wild Pig on the grill.
Oh, wow.
And he had made some crazy batch of hot beans, and it was enough food for everybody.
But was there beer?
There's always beer, man.
Songwriters and beer, they go well together, you know. Sometimes that's how one happens, you know, one without the other, you know.
You sound like you might even been one in the past life, huh?
I may have been, I don't know.
So anyway, man, we got that going on. Paul Crum did Howland Center on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw that. He opened for...
Rodney Crum.
That's it. And it went well?
Went well. Pictures look good. He had a great time, man. And I'm glad to see the songwriters are starting to penetrate into more of the bigger show stuff, which is good because anything else like that, keep, you know, and he had his picture right next to Rodney Crowell on the poster, by the way. He goes, look, I'm right next to Rodney Crowell's ear. No, I'm kidding. I said that. Paul, I'm sorry if you hear that. I'm just messing with you.
It was, I thought it was, he did a good job, too. I heard a little bit about it because we played together on, was it Sunday night at Huey's down in Midtown?
Oh.
And he told me a little bit about how, you know, at first the crowds were sort of coming and going bleak, and then he started playing and they stuck around, and he said it was really enjoyable.
It's always nice to have somebody listen to your stuff.
I mean, it is, yeah. And the Halloran Center is really nice. That's a neat place.
Yeah. It is. Very nice place.
I mean, that lobby's great. They have that little bar there, and it's a nice big open space. And then the theater itself is, what, 250, 300 seats, something like that?
Yeah, it's huge, actually. There's a lot
pretty
of
pretty good sized rooms. Yeah, and there's not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah.
Places like that got to be that good, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he had a good time. We got, by the way, over at Farmer's Market next week is Soriana.
Uh-huh.
And I'm inviting everybody to come and jam with her or come and play a song or whatever.
Yeah. What time does that start?
That's at 9. They play 9 to 11, but a bunch of people come and be there. They can stay until noon if they want.
Sure.
As long as the heat don't melt them.
Because the Farmer's Market goes till about noon, doesn't it?
It does. 8 to 12.
8 to 12, yeah.
But the music's 9 to 11. We don't work hard.
Right.
Well, no, we work for fun. We work for fun.
And it shuts down in September. Is that right?
September 22nd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I would like to see those possibilities. I would love to see having a songwriter stage out at the Delta Fair for local songwriters.
They have a locals only stage, I think.
I don't think they have it this year.
They're not this year. They're not doing it.
No, I don't think so.
They did last year. They had a tent and everything. It was big.
Well, see, I would love to help run something like that.
Yeah,
that would be really
cool. You get a hold of the carny that runs the Delta Fair.
Oh, speaking to carny,
you gotta work the carny route, man. That's how it works.
Mark, can you help me with that?
Probably could.
Well, what about the flea market over there at Tiger Lane that comes once a month? It was here last weekend, and it's like whatever, every second, third weekend or Friday and
There's
Saturday.
A bunch of them around. There's an Agri Center and yeah. all kinds of stuff. Yeah,
set up in there.
We're gonna expand them. We have songwriters infiltrating everywhere.
And there's the Cooper Young Farmers Market, which is year-round.
Oh, that's right.
It goes year-round. It's
every
Saturday.
Do you go that much?
Every once in a while, yeah. I live real close to it, so.
I know, yeah. Just right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go up there every once in a while. And sometimes I'll have somebody up there playing.
I've never been to that one.
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's in the parking lot of the First Congo Church.
Oh, okay.
When you're facing the church there on Cooper, it's to the right. Can't miss it.
Yeah, those things, I mean, these open mic things are popping up everywhere, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it more aware that people say, hey, let's. I remember the day when you would listen to a song, singer-songwriter and you go, wow.
Yeah.
And that changed my life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one song or that handful of songs. You know, we need to start doing that again.
Well, you know, and like what Mark Parcell is doing down there at South Main Sounds, he's got that room going, and plus all the other places he's putting songwriters down there at the vault. Yeah, and
he's got his fingers in a lot of stuff down there. Keeping him very busy.
Yeah, he was out the Tin Roof last
Michael Bollinger, from the director from Bartlett Performing Arts Center, he said, man, I'd love to come back and talk more and discuss the fine arts and songwriters.
Anytime, yeah.
He was like, yeah, and to get people aware, that's the thing that I'm really trying to do. I mean, because the guys like this and Paul and other people, and sometimes myself, writing songs and just saying, hey, this is some good stuff. And we're all enjoying ourselves in life, just fraction.
Memphis has a reputation of being a tough town, you know, musically. And it is.
Well,
I mean,
so does Detroit and so does Chicago.
All music towns are kind of tough, at least for the local audiences, you know.
Yeah,
you
think know. So. I think especially, you know, even you can see it in the tip jars and things like that. People tend to walk by them quite frequently. They're not so used to it. Like Minneapolis is a different kind of town where if you're, you know, busking there, you can, you know, end up with quite a kitty of cash.
San Francisco's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I think in Memphis, if you want to busk, you can only do it in a like a 3-block area on North Main, and you got to pay like $25 for a license and all.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the everybody wants attorney. A piece of it, you know.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew a guy that was doing it there for a while, and he'd be out there on a real nice day, you know, when there's, you know, a fair amount of tourists that are around town, you know, and he would, he said, yeah, that made maybe $30.
But you sit there a while.
Yeah, you do.
You sit there a while going, hey, oh, wait a minute, here's another.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard way to live.
Busking, yeah. Yeah.
It just takes its toll on your soul.
Oh, it does, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's hard on everybody.
Yeah.
When I lived in Nashville and I first got there and living in last house on Music Row.
Yeah.
And I would go downtown all the time to the Pick and Parlor and Ernest T's and different places that as I go into college and checking it out, trying to get the feel of the town. So many guys that were just monstrous songwriters and still are.
Yeah.
Just going.
In those places, right?
In those, you know, in the little hotels and little corners and grabbing a spot on the corner going...
So is busking a thing in Nashville? Is it still...
I don't know if it is. It's been a long time. But, man, it was just horrible to see how much great talent's sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going, got the guitar case open and said, hope somebody will get me something.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough for a burger and a beer later, you know.
I didn't see much in the way of busking last time I was there. It seemed like every bar had somebody in it. And,
they got smart.
Yeah.
Stick them somewhere and good talent. Let's use it.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. Instead of keeping it out on the street like that, you know.
True.
Out there.
Makes your business grow, make them feel better.
Out there with the bums and the hobos.
I've been.
Were you a hobo?
No.
Were you jumping trains?
No, man. I used to work in a train.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah. I was a switchman.
Yeah. Walk on the track?
No, you ride the thing and you'd have to get off on the train and run. The train would slow down. Run fast and throw the switch and then jump back on. Hopefully you made it by the end of the train. Otherwise, you waited until the next run.
Oh, my.
It was not. I said, man, you just leave people abandoned here? And they go, yeah.
Yeah, the train's got to keep going.
They said, we slow down, but we don't stop.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. And I did it for a while, but it was like, they left me way too many times.
In other words, you weren't fast enough.
You weren't fast enough, BJ. There you go.
No, but you could hear him pumping the motor, the engine going, and grind that stuff out. Leave him in the dust.
Leave him behind. Back when they had a caboose on the things, you could get on there, right?
Yeah.
And then work your way back up.
Right. In the old days.
In the old days. Yeah, well.
How many songs were written about trains and
millions of them.
Yeah, millions.
The story goes that when Robert Johnson left the Highway 61 area, the Crossroads area, and he hopped a train, he was headed to Chicago, and he came through Memphis, and it was at nighttime, and he had gotten drunk on the train, and he passed out, and when he woke up, the train had stopped, and that's how he wrote Sweet Home Chicago. And he gets off the train, and he's got his guitar, and he's got the song in his head, and lo and behold, he was only in Memphis. He didn't quite get to Chicago that first time out. But that's, you know, there's some story to that, yeah.
And those are the stories what we got to continue to write about.
Well, sure.
Speaking of writing, man, you got some stuff?
Yeah, you can't. I've dug back into the old stuff that I hadn't looked at for years.
Really?
Yeah, and...
you got cheat sheet, too.
Yeah, I had to because, you know, I've forgotten the lyrics on a lot of these, so thought I'd...
We're on radio, nobody can see it.
Yeah, that ain't about it.
But, yeah, there's... I brought a few songs.
Well, let's hear one.
All right. We got time for the break?
Yeah, I got plenty of time. We got two or three tunes in here before the break.
All right.
Let's see if I got this thing in tune here.
But, a lot of people are getting interested into coming here to this radio station. And
good.
Michael Bollinger had a great time and really enjoyed himself.
I think his appearance is now up on the site because we're taking this stuff and we're accelerating it and getting it up online. So this what'll happen today will be online probably by the end of the week.
Okay.
So.
Well, this song is guaranteed to bring you down.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Let me get a guitar and play some hard rock behind it.
It's the story of the massacre, the Georgetown massacre.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
getting right to the point.
Stephen escaped it. His mother could not. 1,000 poisoned, his big daddy shot. Babies were laying with mamas on top. Some say they escaped it, but most they did not. Kool-Aid, soda pop. Kool-Aid, soda pop. Cool and refreshing. Oh, such a blessing, yeah. Kool-Aid, soda pop. With light, sound, and camera, Stephen recalls, stoically speaking, his eyes saw it all. All there before him were people just gone. Still just a boy, but now all alone. Kool-Aid, soda pop. Kool-Aid, soda pop. Potassium chloride. Or was it bromide? Kool-Aid. Years later, there's still much to tell. They killed their babies and now they're burning in hell. Stephen is grown now, a man on his own. That memory haunts him, that boy all alone. Life in Nirvana, death in Guyana. Rest in between. Lord, give direction. Lord, give direction. What does it all mean? Jim Jones was preaching, son Stephen not there. In the shelter that day where nothing was fair. Drink it now, people, our time has just come. Death is our heaven and life is just numb. Kool-Aid, soda pop. Kool-Aid, soda pop. Cool and refreshing. Oh, such a blessing, yeah. Kool-Aid. Babies laying, mamas on top. Son Stephen escaped, but most they did not. Bye bye, mama, bye bye, my child. Bye bye, mama, bye bye, my child. Kool-Aid, soda pop.
Wow. It's the first time I've ever heard a song with potassium chloride as part of the lyrics.
I bet it is. It's probably that there's some strange stuff that went on with that whole thing. But
oh my God! Yeah, it was horrifying.
Yeah, definitely. it was one that a friend of mine who passed away. He wrote most of the lyrics, and then he just said, I don't know if you can spice this up or make it sound happy.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think I can make that sound happy. I'm going to go with the sad.
Yeah.
Go with the real.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to go with that.
Sometimes
yeah.
It's got to be real. I like that one I wrote for the homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
I know Rick was expecting something a little bit more fun, but it was just, you got to say sometimes what you got to say.
Well, sure. Yeah. Yeah. It there's no sense in changing the mode that strikes, you know. Of yeah. what the subject matter is. Here you're talking about this horrific incident, and there's a way to do that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you made it happy, people would question your sanity, I think.
True. Yeah,
with a big smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Well, although
not, I... Not a bebop song, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Very good, man. Very good. How long ago did you write that?
Oh, probably 2001 or 2 or somewhere around there.
It's simmered for a while, huh?
Yeah, it's been sitting in my book of songs. I've got a stack.
But you shouldn't leave that one sitting out. I mean, you need to bring that out a bit more.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to start looking back at the old stuff and regurgitating it and maybe
changing some of that. That would be a good harp song. Have that you play a little bit of harp.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Has the song changed in any way over those years? I mean, is it? I know songs do tend to mature, you know.
Yeah, no, that one hasn't changed at all. I've changed a lot of them.
Yeah.
Just because I, you know, changed the beat or the amount of beats per minute or whatever, just to kind of spice it up or slow it down. But that one really hasn't changed.
Yeah.
The way I recorded it was with the background of a scratching album.
Yeah,
it's like it was an older recording, and I recorded it in my workshop in Arkansas. It had a really kind of an eerie sound to it.
I would imagine it would, yeah. Yeah, like it was just something way off in the deep past, and which it kind of is, but yeah.
Kind of floating around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like the background music for a thriller swamp movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I got time for another one before the break if you want to do one.
Yeah, I could do this. This is a love song that I recently wrote. I haven't really.
Oh, we didn't say hello, Julie.
Yeah, that's true. Hello, Julie, if you're listening.
Oh, you know what? You need to get her to sketch Rick. She does this pencil sketching thing.
It's really?
Cool. Yeah.
Neat.
We've posted it on a couple of things on our website.
This one is, it's sort of, I almost have to tune the guitar down a whole step to really sing some of the high stuff, but I'll try and get it in with what I can do here. It's called I'll Stop Loving You. When the snow falls in the summertime, when the sun sets in the east, when the birds no longer fly from tree to tree, I'll stop loving you. Loving you. When the full moon no longer shines, when church bells no longer ring, when the music that's in my head no longer sings, I'll stop loving you, loving you. It's beat when the fire that burns so bright has lost all its heat. I'll stop loving you, loving you.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
That's very, very nice.
Yeah.
It's got a nice feel to that.
You did that over at the farmer's market.
I did, yeah. It was the first time. I didn't know all the words even then. I think there's a couple more verses, but I haven't.
Nobody knew.
It.
I mean, you could have said nothing. I said,
that sounds fine to me.
I planned it that way. Yeah.
Let's get that thing into the studio right now. Let's get that recorded. No, that's good stuff. Mark Wicklund is here in the studio with B.J. Banks from the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, and you have some more music there for us, Dean.
Yeah, let's try this one. This is trying to think of what this expensive misery is. I think what I named this one about it, basically about retiring and looking towards a new life.
Yes,
I think that's what it's about. All right. This is what I wanted. This is what I get. I've worked for a long, long time. Now all I feel is regret. Now all that's left for me is expensive misery, short-lived history, eyes that only see. Expensive misery. I turned my boat towards the shadows, sailed straight into the black. I think you tried to follow, but I could not look back. Now all that's left for me is expensive misery, short-lived history, eyes that only see. Expensive misery. Sense is rough and torn. If money was no option, I'd fight to be reborn. Now all that's left for me is expensive misery, short-lived history, expensive misery, eyes that only see. Expensive misery.
That's kind of upbeat for being about retirement. It's expensive misery. Yeah.
Or it could be that twisted. Yeah, it's expensive, and I'm going to go out with fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go out with a bang.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to what people's take on that one is, because it had meaning at the beginning, and then it lost it, and now it's what everybody thinks would. You think what you want to think about it. So.
Well, that's kind of cool, though. I mean, that's what a lot of art really is. It's, you know, you may not even have a message in there. You just leave it for the interpretation of those who are consuming it.
Yeah, true.
You know, a lot of paintings are done that way, you know, if it's not plainly obvious.
So yeah. The art galleries down there on South Main, man, they're this. Have you been in there and seen some?
I've walked by them. I looked in the windows, and I haven't gone into any of those gardens.
Use the door. It's wonderful.
Well, I know that. I'm usually going somewhere, and it's usually not a destination, you know.
Make a plan to stop for just a minute to see it. And
yeah.
Some of that stuff down there. The art, amazing.
It's really eclectic and some strange stuff, but it's the kind of thing that – I've got a twin sister, and she's really into weird art and things that other people would pass by. She grabs and puts it in her house, and every one of them has a story in her mind, but yeah. it's cool. I like some of that stuff too.
But it's how you interpret it, like the song, yeah. You know.
Oh, I mean, sure.
You didn't get off track or anything, but.
Well, no, but there's a lot to that. Speaking of galleries, the Blues Hall of Fame down there on South Main.
Yeah.
They have right there in the front, off to the right as you walk in. The left is the counter where you get your tickets to go into the museum. And there to your right is a gallery. And there's a bunch of it's folk paintings, if you will, of blues artists. Oh, yeah. And it's really, really cool. They're very different, very bright for, you know, for being a bunch of depressing people. But, you know, they're not depressing.
I've seen that at various airports, you know, they have an art show along the corridors, and a lot of them are just, you know, 12 and 13-year-olds or, you know, some high school students, and they do this fabulous
interpretation
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They pick a topic, and everybody does something based on that topic, but they're all different.
Well, oh, sure. Well, you were going to have to post it and say, okay, what do you think this song means?
Yeah.
Get everybody's opinion.
Of course, if you leave, you know, the internet to decide certain things, there's no telling what you're going to wind up with.
Yeah, true. Might not want to ask that question.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
Silk purse or.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. How about another tune there, Mark?
Sure.
Hits keep rolling out, man. I like this stuff.
Let's see. I'm not sure if I did this one last time, but it's called "I'm Thinking Tonight."
As opposed to "I'm drinking tonight, I'm thinking."
Yeah, I do have one that I've written too. It's called "I'm thinking my drinking should end."
Yes,
but I'm drinking to my thinking again.
Well, this is the page 2 to this song.
It
could be.
It's a reprise.
I'm thinking tonight. I'm wondering, can I come back to you? Come back to you. I'm wondering if I even want to, 'cause I'm thinking tonight. Slumber, but I wanted to talk again. No reason to call, not one at all. I wanted to know, are we just friends? Are we just friends? 'Cause I'm thinking tonight.
Is this some of the older stuff too?
Yeah, goes back to, I don't know, probably 2000, somewhere around there.
Yeah. When did you really start sitting down to start writing?
It was probably when I first moved to Memphis.
Yeah.
I think it was right around 94. And then I sat down with the guitar. I didn't have any friends, just moved here and tried to figure out, play some chords and get a chord sheet and goof around, and then I just started writing things, and none of them really ever sounded like much, but they just were fun to experiment with.
Sure. Steps in that first direction there, yeah.
I still have a lot of those old songs, too, that are just stuck in that book of scribbles, you know, that a lot of times I never even wrote down the chords because I played it so often that I knew them. But now I go back to them and I go, wow, what was I thinking? Where did that come from?
Well, I mean, but it obviously it leads to other things. I mean, you know, as you progress as a guitar player, as a songwriter, or you know, a lyricist,
yeah,
you know, what it's you start hearing these changes that you've been, you know, noodling around on for all this time, and you go, hey, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I never really got into the real lick part of playing a guitar, like a electric,
like leads and stuff. Leads. Yeah.
But mostly it's been just strumming and finger picking. That's been my style.
Yeah, you're coming up with your own kind of feel, style, approach to your songwriting. You know, a lot of people try to figure out where their niche is, where their sweet spot is.
Right.
And it takes, sometimes it takes years, and other people it just comes, oh, that's what it is. That's why all those workshops that I'm trying to keep going with everybody, to have that,
yeah,
to try to spur on whatever that is, that element about them, to say, hey, yeah, I don't know what it is exactly about for Mark, but if there's something here that I can put out on the table for you to use, that's going to spark that interest and that feeling again, or expand your abilities, you know.
But fortunately, I have my wife Julie, and she's usually around when I'm experimenting and goofing around, and she'll pick up the phone and she'll say, I'm going to record that, because you got to get that down, and then don't lose it, because the next day I'll just say, I can do that tomorrow.
Yeah, but you
can't do
it. It's like trying to remember a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very dreamy, yeah.
Yeah.
So she, fortunately, has been really good about
Saving your stuff.
Saving my stuff, and then she'll come back and she'll say, do you remember this?
When the documentary's out about you, right?
Yeah. I think I waited a little too long in life for to become a rock star.
Maybe not a rock star, but, you know, there's always another Chris Christopherson somewhere.
There's always is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets there when they get there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so vague, isn't it?
Well, no, but it's true. I mean, you know, everybody's, I guess with the songwriter, and especially with musicians, everybody's path is different.
Yeah.
You know, to some it may seem like it's the same type of thing that you're doing, but everybody's mentally in a different space.
Yeah.
You know,
how you get there, what you're doing to get there, and really what desire you have, how
your
far
drive.
You want to go.
Yeah, it's the drive. Well, is my drive very specific towards a goal of entertainment, performing, or is it songwriting, or, you know, and those are the elements that really make up who you are as your persona, as I am going to be the harmonica guitar player, songwriter, or I'm going to be the performer, singer, songwriter, or I'm going to, you know, whatever that hat is.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, a lot of the songs that you hear are basically very simple, and they become a hit, you know, like Bob Dylan songs. He would just write.
Key of D, I think everything.
Yeah,
is
you know, and then the harmonica comes easy with that, but it's just his style, his rhythm, and everything else that really put...
He found his niche.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lyrics that he was laying out there, too, was, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, where's all that coming from?
Like almost another universe at that point.
Well, he became a Nobel laureate now? I mean, he won the Nobel Prize for poetry? And rightfully so, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stuck in there and kept to his guns and what he believed in and how he felt about it.
Sure.
And his drive, just like, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people here doing it.
Yeah.
You, Paul Krum, all these guys, they sticking to their guns.
Well, you should. Yeah, you have to. It's not a matter of standing up to the critics. This is what I want to do. You know, this is me. I can't do anything different. You know, or I shouldn't do anything different.
You know, I still like to play covers and kind of change them up a little bit.
Sure.
And it's really enjoyable. But you know, it kind of fills the gap too. And you really, if you're going to play for a couple hours, you really have to have some depth to you. And I guess I could dig out all of my old songs, but I really enjoy some you know, James Taylor and some old John Prine and all the other stuff. It's
right.
My heroes, I guess.
Well, and covers, not just a matter of using them for fill, but it does put you in a way into the headspace of the guy that wrote that song. You know, your hands are doing what their hands were. You know,
and then you put your own twist onto it to where
it becomes yours in a way.
Yours.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Yeah, for the moment.
For the moment, yeah. That's cool.
Inside the mind of a songwriter. We're getting there.
Yeah, I think so. This is what this is turning into, isn't it? Inside the mind of a songwriter. It's horrifying, really. I'm gonna blame you for all of it.
If you see some dark spots in there.
Well, there's a lot of dark spots in songwriting. You know that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We all go to those weird corners and say, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm writing.
Well, it's hard to really just sit down and find the time to do that. Even for me, being retired, you'd think I'd have a lot of time.
You're partying too much, man, out in the lake.
I have too many other hobbies.
Too busy sitting out under the trees, fishing, drinking, whatever,
golfing,
you know.
Fishing,
you know, drinking. These are important things.
He's done lived his life now, you know. But that's just it. As you move along, you're also writing about experiences and things that you've dealt with or
you get time to
emotions.
Think about now.
Yeah. You get time to look to reflect on it and go, man, what was I thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Or what was I drinking?
What was I drinking? Yeah. What was I drinking when
that's
I was thinking of this?
One of my newer songs. What was I drinking?
What was I drinking? Yeah.
I like that one song you did the other day.
What
was it about? You were hopping a railroad train, or you were doing something. You were a bum. You were a bum on the street.
Oh, that was that homeless song.
Yeah, the homeless song. Yeah.
Called What You Gonna Do?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I enjoyed that.
It was an honest song.
Yeah.
You can't turn your head away from some things at times.
No. Well, you see a lot of it here in Memphis.
You gotta look at it. I mean, you can't get upset and angry. That's why I have a guitar. To do that.
Yeah. Precisely.
Definitely.
Precisely. How about another tune there, Mark?
Well, let's see. I wonder if I should try. I know I did the cookie jars one last time. Without my harmonica, I'll skip that one. How about I could do a song called... It's a song about my sister's brother-in-law, let's just say. My brother-in-law's ex-girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And he fell in love with this girl, and she just sort of used him. And we could see it happening. And
right.
It was interesting how it turned out, but I still play it for him, and he cringes. He says, "You're not going to play that ever on the radio or anything." I said, "No."
No. Hey, how's it going?
Kenny, this is for you.
There you go, buddy. You can hear him cringing from here.
I feel your pain, Kenny.
Hey, it happens to the best of them, right?
Yeah.
It's the way it goes. That's a cool tune. I like the vibe of that.
Thanks.
Very, very cool. What have you got coming up? Are you going to be playing anywhere anytime soon?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be playing at Westies. Let me see what the dates are here.
Westies.
Let's see. Actually, Stage Stop September 9th. That place is still open.
Yes, it is.
And 7 to 10 there. And then October 5th at Westies.
Aha.
So.
Hanging out in the Pinch District.
Got a few things going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. That'll be fantastic. BJ, what do you got going on?
Oh, just trying to make sure all these guys stay out of trouble.
You got bail money set aside for all these cats?
No, but I got somebody that's pro bono. No. No, not really. But I'm just trying to make sure everybody's doing something.
Right.
You know, and I'm kind of just like treading water right now, waiting for all the plans set up for the school and getting all those moving pieces started. But,
sure, sure.
You know, I guess I'm doing a songwriter. We were invited to do Howard Vance's Falls songwriter thing over at his place.
Right.
So Paul, myself, I'm not sure who else he invited, but it's nice when you go in there and people just listen. I think it's September 8th or something like that.
No, that's coming up, yeah, yeah.
On a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It is, we're going to do it on, but I'll look on the calendar here and see. I got that going on. I got this.
7th is a Friday.
Huh?
7th is a Friday.
Is it the 7th?
You know, that South Main Sounds is a good listening room, too. It's
it's perfect for it.
Pin drop, and he does a really good job in recording. And of course, Danny Day takes pictures.
Oh, yeah, the pictures are great there.
Pictures are great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great little spot for
that. Don't forget Bart, the sound guy.
Oh, yeah, Bart does a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not just a sound guy. He's got a lot on his plate.
Oh yeah, he does. And what's nice about it is that there's no other distractions. That's the, you know, it's a comfortable place to just sit and listen.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's like Howard Vance's when they go over there. It's strictly listening.
Yeah.
A nice acoustic room, not a real big seating.
Yeah. Glass of wine or a beer, and you just kind of chill out.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody in there, you meet a lot of new friends in there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about musicians, just the people that go, you know. It's a wide variety of folk that go in there to see it.
Definitely, but I think Mark drags them in from Nashville and all over the place.
He does.
He can drag them in, he's going to get them in there.
Oh, yeah, that he does. It's way cool.
He is definitely an advocate for songwriters. We were just talking yesterday how I let him know how I appreciate all his efforts, you know. And he goes, yeah, you do what you do, we do what I do, and we all just keep on doing this, and it's going to look different.
Yeah.
You're going to feel different.
That it is.
Songwriting, you know.
Well, cool. All right. Well, fellas, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Are we out of time already?
Yeah, we're out of time.
Oh, man. I thought we had just got here, man. It was fun.
Yeah, we just got here an hour ago.
I told you it was morning.
It's all perspective. Now it's the afternoon, you know.
Morning, man. I was like... No coffee sitting on the table or nothing.
Yeah, see there?
No donuts or
nothing. Time flies. You're having fun over here.
I'm quitting donuts. I'm trying to.
You're trying to quit the donut, are you?
Yeah, man. It's like Homer Simpson, no more.
I could go for a donut right about now, actually.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up.
No, it's okay. I'll live.
And, we're going to try to we got a workshop in 2 weeks, by the way.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I'm still trying to come up. I think I'm going to have a media specialist, a media and branding specialist.
Yeah.
Come up. And I think I'm going to have him on a show next week, too.
Okay, that'll be good.
So we can talk about what's going on when we get to the workshop, and you can get an idea. The perspective of what, okay, say you wanted to do a little bit of something with your stuff. How do you brand what you're doing, your style, your technique, and then how do you apply it?
How do you leverage that to your best advantage, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that'll be good. Yeah.
If hopefully he's available, I'm going to find out today, tomorrow.
Well, that'll be good. So, fantastic. And so that's for the thing happening in two weeks. The workshop in 2 weeks, and then of course your parents are next week.
I can't remember the date. This morning, September 4th.
Yeah, September 4th. Okay. Very good.
Good.
Mark, it's always good to see you, my friend.
Same here.
Enjoy sitting out in the woods.
Oh, I will.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get time to go up there and do some of that with him.
You need to. You should go up there. It'd be good for you.
It makes your fingernails grow faster. That's one thing about the fresh air.
Yeah.
Better to pick with.
Better to pick with. All right, then. Well, BJ, we'll see you next week, then.
Okay.